Later this morning, the Court of Appeal will hear the case of a paralysed man who wants his doctor to help him die. Paul Lamb was injured in a car accident. He's taken up the legal challenge started by the campaigner Tony Nicholson, who died last summer. Now, in an exclusive on Victoria Derbyshire's programme from 10 this morning, he describes the pain he's lived with for the last 23 years.
I'm crying, I'm screaming, and I have to be knocked out. I have to be knocked out. And that's where the ketamine really comes in, because it's taken until it knocks me out. Well, it is horrendous. It is just like I have been maybe crossing a road and a bus has just smacked me at speed and I'm laid on the floor, and that's how it feels. And the only difference is, you know, I keep getting that down again, and it's like continuously going over a car accident or being hit by a bus, but nobody can do anything about it.
Andrew Copson is Chief Executive of the British Humanist Association. Andrew, good morning. And Dr. Peter Saunders, Director of the Care Not Killing Alliance. Hello, Dr. Saunders. Hello, Peter.
Good morning.
You heard him. He wants to have the right to die, Peter Saunders. Who are you to deny him that right?
Well, no one can help but have sympathy for Paul. But we need to understand that the key point here is that he's arguing for a very radical change in the law. He's not wanting assisted suicide, help to kill himself, but actually euthanasia for a doctor to give him a lethal injection. And this threatens actually to drive a coach and horses through the murder law. And it has really far-reaching consequences for huge numbers of vulnerable elderly and disabled people who could then feel pressure, whether real or imagined, to end their lives so as not to be a financial or emotional burden on others. So it's a massive change that not even the Voluntary Euthanasia Society, Dignity and Dying, support. And there's, understandably, the Ministry of Justice is opposing his appeal for these reasons.
Andrew Copson.
Yes. Well, I think that, of course, it is a change in the law, but it's a change that recognises that there have been significant changes in medical science as well. Medicine has progressed, thankfully for most of us, to a remarkable degree in recent years. It can now keep us alive, you know, on and on and on. It can keep us alive in circumstances where, just a few years ago, we'd have died. But for some people, in very extreme circumstances, that tick-tick-ticking of life as it goes by is not enough if they've lost all the quality of their life. If the life that they have has become, instead of anything pleasurable, anything meaningful to them, just a constant torture, as you heard from Paul just then in his interview with you, then it's a rational decision for them to make to want to bring that life to an end.
Torture.
And I think as a society, if we're compassionate, we can't turn our face away from people in that circumstance.
Yes.
We have to have safeguards for other vulnerable people, I agree.
Indeed so, Andrew Copson, but torture comes in, it can come in other forms as well. In the Netherlands, euthanasia for anyone over the age of 70 who is, quote, tired of living, is now being considered. Should we consider that?
No, I don't think so. I think that there should be a test of suffering, of incurable suffering, and there should be a test about whether people are able to end their lives themselves as well. I mean, in this country, suicide is not illegal. Anyone at any time could choose to end their life, and I think that what we're talking about now is giving assistance to those who, because of, you know, some sort of incurable condition, are unable to end their own life and look to the rest of society, look to other people, other human beings in our compassion to help them in that situation.
And a doctor would be expected to do this?
Absolutely, yeah. And that works well in other parts of the world. I think that it's essential that a doctor do it. I think it's essential that there is sound psychological assessment of people before their wishes are granted. And I think it's essential that this sort of activity is regulated.
Okay.
So yes, a doctor,
well,
absolutely.
It'd be really interesting to hear from any doctors, any people working in that field as to how they feel about this. 85058. Peter, a last thought from you before we leave this for now. What do you infer from what has happened in the Netherlands and in the state of Oregon and in Switzerland? Do you believe there is evidence of that so-called well-worn but very useful cliche, the slippery slope?
I prefer not to talk about the slippery slope, but rather incremental extension. And that's certainly what we're seeing.
Which means the same thing.
Well, except that I think there's an intentional move to press the boundaries. I think that's different. It's not a passive thing. And in the Netherlands, as you've mentioned, 15 to 20% increase in euthanasia cases every year. In Belgium, over the first 10 years of legalization, there's been a 5,000% increase in annual cases. We're seeing moves to dementia patients, to in the Netherlands under the Groningen Protocol. We're seeing disabled children being killed. We're seeing pressure to
disabled children
minors.
Being killed. Okay,
yes,
what's
under the Groningen Protocol?
So we're give seeing us an example involuntary. Of that. Could you give us an example of that? Disabled children being killed.
Children who are born with disabilities are having infanticide in the Netherlands. There's been a number of documented cases. So, and in Belgium now, in some places in the country, a third of all cases are involuntary, where the patient doesn't give consent. What one in three nurses has given euthanasia, even though it's illegal. So once you change the law, you get incremental extension, pressing of the boundaries.
Okay.
You can't control
and
it.
And people's sensibilities change, which is incremental extension.
The public conscience
wrapped
changes.
Wrapped up with the slippery slope. Listen, could you email our team with those examples of disabled children being killed, since you said it on the radio? Would you, if our team get in touch with you, can you provide that for them? And we'll talk about that later on this programme.
Certainly.
Thank you very much.